I've got something here that this is the flag that we said we was going to send to Mr. Reagan's. The Lord dealt with me and I understood him to tell me to send a flag to Mr. Reagan's, which is a very, very unusual thing. You say, well, what if he doesn't accept it? Well, one thing about it, the Lord told me to send it, I'll be done my job. The other part's up to God and up to him. If I do what I understand to do, that's all that's necessary. If God wants it rejected, then let him reject it. Maybe that's God's way of rejecting the nation. I don't know. But who knows how he'll feel. I feel like he'll accept it. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But there's one thing about it. It is perhaps one of the most beautiful, one of the finest presents that a president or anybody else could get. And especially something, we'll be sending something along with it. But this particular thing, this flag, I don't know how many sisters or brothers was involved in making this flag. Brother Mitch and Sister Hamby majorly took the responsibility of doing it. Okay, now, this flag, they've sealed it up in some plastic. Before they did this, we took the flag and we unraveled the flag, and it's lovely. It's beautiful. It's the most, it's the best flag that we have had made in the sense that they sewed it, stitched it with a machine, and it's just beautiful. It's not conglomerated, you know, in such a way that it's half-stitched and things out of place and whatever. I said, now, I want something nice. And they gave it to me. I checked it on both sides, and it is nice. It's something that you don't have to be ashamed of going to your president or going to the White House or wherever, because it is nice. It's nice enough for anybody. As a matter of fact, so far as the work on it, it's much nicer than the one they're flying as the Stars and Stripes. So I appreciate this flag, and I appreciate them fixing it for me. And come Monday, the good Lord willing, if Monday comes around, everything's well, we'll be packaging it up, and whatever we're going to send with it or whatever we're going to say to Mr. Reagan's, it'll be sent to him. We've had contact with the president before, and we've had contact with the senator before, and with the governors. Whatever, we've had contact with them, and we've got to respond. And I expect to respond. But nevertheless, we're going to send it. And this, of course, maybe you don't understand, and I don't expect you to. You know, I really don't. A lot of times, I don't expect you to. Maybe you can't see it. You probably can't see it there. But it's got on there, it's got God is. How many of you can see that? God is, can you? The Bible said God is. You must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we didn't plan it that way, but when they folded this flag in military style, it came out, God is. But you say, Brother Pike, what do you think about this? This is what I think about it. They said, see, how did they make this statement now? Mr. Reagan said, I feel like that I'm coming in and the world's going out. Then they said a little article that they wrote under the calendar, it said a new beginning. A new beginning. So I feel like this has to do with that new beginning. And I didn't know it until tonight. Brother Jim spoke up and said, back to the beginning. So that's what we ought to tell him. Okay, now, I didn't know till tonight that Reagan, in his statement, when he was talking to the people at this network of religious broadcasters, I didn't know that he made the statement like this. He said, what would the people think if they knew that George Washington kissed the Bible at the time of his inauguration or whatever? That's something. He said, what would they think? What would they think? Opposing religion. See, that again proves that it is back, as Jim said, back to the beginning that we said it would have to do with Washington. With Washington. Brother Clyde was telling me today, he said, Brother Pike, do you know that Georgia was settled? We was talking about James Oglethorpe and the founder of Georgia. And he was saying, did you know that it was named, not settled, but named after King George III? He was talking about how that he had heard, I believe just recently, in the last day or two, which is really unusual, but he had heard some of the relatives of this man that founded Georgia. And they were elaborating concerning how he found it and how that he just took all of his money, all of his wealth in founding Georgia. And then he went back to the foreign country and married a rich, I don't know what she was, but a fabulous, rich person. And as some of his relatives made the statement, I understand that it was a good thing he did because he used up all of his money found in Georgia. Well, anyway, that's just a little history there that goes along with what we understand of Revelation. Brother Pike, what are you doing out here having your own currency? What are you doing out here making a flag? Brother Pike, what are you doing? Mind it, foolish Brother Pike. Yes, that's right, a fool for Christ. Foolish and abased things of the world to confound you wise folks. All right. Inasmuch as the Bible said that by the wisdom of the world you knew not Christ and you crucified him, and it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching that he'd do something that'd be foolish in your sight to go on and establish his government and to bring in his crown. I think I'm going to talk with you a little bit tonight. And I was going to get a brother to minister. He didn't care too much for it tonight, but I was going to try to get him to anyway. But since I took up so much time and run into the problems that I did, I'll just go ahead and take care of this. We've got this to take care of. And let me exhort you again that if you're not doing anything for the Lord, then get in and do something for God. I got a report the other day after the exhortation that we had given that a brother, he went on the job and he told some of his workers and some in charge, I understand that this is what he told them, that from now on they just have to make out without him so far as him being right there in the supervision or whatever, that he'd do whatever he could take care of his business and keep it going, but they was going to have to do the best they could in the sense that he was going to get into his office and into his work for God, and that he was not going to lose his crown or his office or whatever for the natural things of the world, which to me sounds wonderful. This is the report that I got, and this is of course what every individual ought to do. If you haven't done that, then you're running way late. You're way late because you should have done it a long time ago. We that are not doing anything, just sitting around waiting for something to happen, may the Lord inspire us in some way to realize that we're procrastinating and throwing away our lives and throwing away God's time. And that with that kind of attitude, we're never going to excel to do anything for God. There'll never be a time that we'll ever excel in our entire lifetime. What we're going to do will always be tomorrow. Now, I've said this a number of years ago, and some of you didn't believe it, and you thought I was wrong about it, but until today, which is numbers of years later, you're still doing the same thing. And you're still waiting for a tomorrow. Still waiting for something to happen, and you can't help Brother Pike at Bethlehem, though you've been here for years and you haven't hoped me, always thinking some lucky day is coming, and yet it didn't come. As a matter of fact, your day got more unlucky all the time. And you that have trusted in certain things like that, you see that it's all come to pass to blow up in your face, as we would say, and you haven't really done anything. So then, it might be wise if you wake up before it's too late. If you keep on, it's going to be too late for you to wake up. And it won't do you any good because you're going to wait
until you wake up on the other side of the river, you're going to find yourself put in a box and waking up on the other side of the river and not having done anything to help us with the project of God here or to push things on or whatever. And that's a very sad situation. I appreciate Brother Clyde and his wife, and I feel like that Sister Joyce was just as cheerful in it as Clyde was. It sure appears to be that way, that they gave something like at least $20,000 or more to the work of the Lord in the last few days. And I thank God for it. It has been a wonderful, wonderful blessing to me, a wonderful decision. Worked out in a wonderful way. The property that they had, their home, everything, they would not, Brother Clyde would not rest until he'd done something with it one way or another. And he decided that this is the way he wanted to do it. So it now belongs to the work of the Lord. It's in the heirs of Macon. And he had diligently considered this before. And he went today to check out what he has to do to go ahead and get the deeds and everything made over into the work of the Lord's name. And of course, I guess they found out today. He said he had most of the paperwork that he needed, and the rest of it he was going to take care of. So then, that's a blessing. God is still blessing. God is still doing something. God is still helping us. And we're still enthused about the wonderful things of the Lord Jesus. Still trying to expand for the cause and kingdom of the Lord. Now, this particular thing right here, in just a little while, we're going to pray over it. And I want to read some scripture. You know, there's one thing that I trust that Brother Taylor won't forget, Brother Mitch, whoever has to do with this. There's one thing that should be, that Ronald Reagan should be reminded of, and that is, the Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And tonight, I'm just going to read a little bit of scripture, and I want Brother Taylor to name the tape that they make out of these conversations and whatever we're having tonight. I want it named, Righteousness Exalteth the Nation, but Sin is a Reproach to Any People. That we might have something to remember this night by because of the flag. There is a lot of things that is taking place. And it's sad when I think about it, it is sad to know that though these wonderful spiritual things that hold no value whatsoever to the carnal mind, to realize that these things are taking place, and in that they are taking place, that many of you have not seen them. And many of you are not going to see them. This is the sad part, that many of you will never see them. All because you don't have enough interest to come with the brotherhood, to be with the brotherhood in the conversations, to come to church with any means of regularity, to have enough interest to drive in and get with the people. You haven't had enough to even make you get with the people and try to do anything, and therefore you've missed it. There are several little things that has been given to me in the last day or two. Brother Willie and Brother Larry gave me a beautiful little plaque with a little cross on it and a little scroll with engravings and a gold-like scroll. That's really beautiful. And so many things has been given to us in the last day or two that had spiritual significance, spiritual meanings. Okay, now, I want to read some from the 11th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. This is the book of Revelation. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second war is passed, and behold, the 3rd woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints. And them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth the man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice, it goes on here to speak about the beast coming up out of the waters. Here, in the 15th verse, when the seventh angel sounds, it says, "The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." This is, of course, the little plaque that Brother Larry and Brother Willie gave me. On this little plaque, a scroll like they had inscribed the kingdom. And I noticed it was in a unique way because it didn't say the kingdoms of this world. It was taken from another Bible and it said the kingdom of this world has become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. And it went on to say the kingdom of God. See, whereas the kingdom of God is singular, individually, one kingdom, while as it speaks of the world as being in the plural, kingdoms of the world, becoming the kingdoms of God. And so then this had on there the kingdom. And so then it was really denoting that something spiritually was taking place in that it was singular and directly pointed to the kingdom of God. Now, in this, Brother Mike Bradley also, whose name is really not Mike at all, his name is Willie. Not William, but Willie. His name is Willie, just like our brother Willie Holt. His name is Willie. And he also, having to do with this, whereas Brother Willie back here has to do with Brother Branham. They used to call him Willie. His name was William. They called him Willie. But the brother that's oversetting the meat, his name is not William, but his name is Willie. It's not a nickname. His name is Willie. Now, all of this having to do with Brother Branham and having to do with the move of God and something happening right now. I mentioned some of these things, how that Brother Mike or Willie Bradley, that is, went over to Bombay, India, to set our meeting there where Brother Branham had had such a great meeting, and he went over by Kuwait or Saudi Arabia, where Paul went to get the revelation. And he went over by Switzerland, and we say as you switch countries or change lands, switch land. He went over denoting the thing and the way that he traveled. Strange, but yet it happened. When Sister Betty and I was over, Brother Floyd, Sister Jacqueline, the others that was over there, we went around by Paris. We went around by Paris, and we got down as far as Paris, France, Holland, Paris, many countries we went into. But as we was going to Switzerland on the next leg of our move, the Lord stopped us and didn't let us go to Switzerland. And this undoubtedly had to do with it because right at this time it shows the change, whereas it didn't show the change then. Which also reminds me of Brother Branham. When Brother Branham was going into Israel, got as far as Cairo, Egypt, and then the Lord stopped Brother Branham and said, "No, the time is not now." And then I noticed that on this trip, I had wondered where the connection with Israel was, because our trip to India has to do with Israel. And I thought, now I've seen it in Solomon's mother being an Indian and his daddy or father being a Jew and his mother being in India and his father being in Israel. And I saw it in a number of other things, and I thought, now this is also connected with Brother Branham because Solomon is a Brother Branham follower. And I thought, now he come here to this church, and JT spoke of the covenant being in here, the Ark of the Covenant, and spoke of the Tree of Life being outside. It had never been recognized until now, and yet it had been here all the time. And then the things that was said concerning Brother Branham and the things that the brother said when he come here and said God spoke to him and said, "Come here," because this had to do with the wisdom of Solomon. all the temple of Solomon, or that is the son of David. He come in and gave his privacy. Now, where's another boy from California that I've never seen before, never seen since, come through here and gave a prophecy, or spoke concerning this, that God had given a prophecy in some meeting that some charismatics had had or people had had, and said that he would erect in Monroe, Georgia, a monument of praise unto his name, and said, this is it. Went on his way, and that's the last time I ever seen him. He was connected, I believe, with the Methodist Church some way in California, whatever. So then, these things taking place, I looked and I come to realize that something was happening and that God was doing something unusual. Brother Branham stopping in Cairo, Egypt, it really had to do with something. Stopping in Cairo, Egypt, there the Lord said, not now. Well, when I talked to Brother Mike Bradley at a distance the other day, I talked to him, and I must have talked with him an hour and a half, trying to get everything set up and make sure that everything's just right. And I talked with him. This is the second time I've communicated with him by phone. And in talking with Brother Mike, I found out that we, in leaving India, can either go back through London, England, where we've had two invitations and one as of late to come there and speak. We can come back through London, England, or we can go through Paris, France, or we can go through Rome, Italy, or we can go through Tel Aviv, Israel. And of course, Mike said, you need to decide which one we're supposed to go through, Brother Pye. Now we can come back through Amsterdam, Holland, which of course will be the way that Sister Betty and I will travel, as far as I know. We've been there before. And also there's a man, I think, there that we can contact while we're in Holland if we want to minister in Holland. Now, but see, what I'm trying to say is all of a sudden the connection come up. I kept wondering where the connection was. I thought, well, Lord, there's a connection with this some way, and I don't understand what it is. But all of a sudden the connection come up, and I suddenly was made to realize that this was just exactly in line with what I understood. His name, Brother Willie back here, Brother Willie over there, and Brother Solomon having to do with Brother Branham, and God stopping Brother Branham in Cairo, Egypt, saying it's not time. And all of a sudden right here I find out that we must go through Cairo, Egypt. That if we go to Tel Aviv, Israel, that we must stop in Cairo, Egypt. And the way we stop in Cairo, Egypt is not stop to be detained or to turn around as it appears now, but to stop in Cairo, Egypt and then go on in to Israel. Whereas we've had invitations into Israel, and they've been giving out our literature there and whatever. But anyway, we're supposed to go on into Israel. And as far as I know, we will go into Israel. I don't know if the Lord could say anything, but what I understood and what I have previously understood. Now, maybe it won't work out that way. Maybe there's another plan altogether, but that's what I see in it right now. And then coming here tonight to talk about this, I see having this flag here, having these things done like that. And again, Brother Mitch comes from the following of Brother Branham, him and Sister Rita. They come from that area, and of course, Sister Rita's folks has been over to a place called Georgetown, Indiana. But Brother Mitch, he comes from that area. It has to do with Brother Branham's following. As a matter of fact, Mitch had a vision one time or a dream or something. He said, Brother Pike, I had a vision where I was working for Brother Branham and I was putting up wallpaper, pasting up wallpaper. Well, strangely enough, at that time he was doing paste-up work down there in the printing room for the Eternal Abundant Life work. Now, in this, I see something taking place right at this particular time, as Brother Jim said, back to the beginning. Here we come back to the beginning, and then our president making mention of Washington. And I felt positive in my heart that Reagan made that statement. I thought, Lord, as sure as I live, Reagan has been inspired from George Washington, the reading of something that had to do with George Washington, and he's been inspired to make the declaration that he made that the papers published. And sure enough, that's what happened. When we found out about it today, that's exactly what happened, because Jim said, or whoever made the statement said that he had made that statement about Washington kissing the Bible. And so then it's obvious that that's exactly what took place, that he did make the statement concerning this wonderful thing concerning God because of being inspired by the first president, as Brother Jim said, back to the beginning. Well, that is the beginning of a new thing, starting all over again, and then the Lord dealing with me to send him a flag from Little Bethlehem. My brother Junior out here, he had had a vision, and in this vision he had seen this building here as the White House of Washington. And then Mount Vernon being close by and the different things that have taken place as it has taken place. And the standing for the truth, the way that we believe in the truth here. The one thing that Washington was noted for as a president was that he stood for the truth. He believed in the truth. And so then this happening and God wanting this flag to go to Washington, as I understand at this moment. See, we see back to the beginning. All we see is God would say, William Branham, the time is not yet. The time is not yet, though you're a great prophet, though you have a great gift, yet the time is not yet. The time is not fulfilled. There's a little book that we've got, they published a few days back. On the front of it, it says the time is fulfilled. And the time not being yet, as it was said to Brother Branham, that is, the allegoric types is not up to par. They've not fulfilled. The time element that's involved hasn't rolled around to a certain place. So then it's not time to go and deal with the Jews yet. But after a while, here we are about 18 years later from his ministry, and now the Jews have risen up and they begin to conquer, and people's eyes are on Israel, and all kind of things is being has began to take place that we understood that people forespoke of and that we've spoke of. And strangely enough, concerning the great Hoa we spoke of, that is concerning the Roman Catholic Church, the great Hoa, concerning her, we spoke of how that she would relate to Russia and how that they would knit themselves together, and sure enough, it came to pass. And then we spoke of the covenant and how that the Bible says that in that day an evil thought shall come into the minds of Gog and Magog, and they'll say, let us go up unto the city, that is Israel, the city with unfenced walls, and take for ourselves a spoil. And I just recently heard that Israel and Russia, which is very unusual, are getting together in some kind of program or a covenant. That's all it takes, see, with the Hoa already working with Russia and with America already bending toward communism the way that they did when that leader from China come over to visit with Jimmy. And then all of a sudden, now here Israel is leaning toward the same communistic move. It's evident that the world right at this moment is ready for a confederation. It is also evident that Israel, having to do with the woman that fled away in the wilderness at the birth of the man-child, it's evident that if this is at hand, then the red dragon, which has to do with communist Russia, is laying right in there for that Israelite woman because she's fixing to birth her child. And that child that's caught up to the throne is the translation or the rapture of the church, which is brought with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Evidently that because it isn't made mention of until John brings forth the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so then it's evident that the revelation of Jesus Christ, all the translation of the church is at hand. And if that be so, then that means the red dragon is moving in toward the woman, which is Russia. And at that time, the child, the rapture, the child in that salvation is of the Jew, it indicates that the Jew has birthed the child of salvation. And so then it indicates that everything is just right. And everything is drawing just exactly to the place to where at this moment the rapture of the church could take place. And with this flag going up to the White House, it has to do with the church being caught up or raptured up into glory. Now, that is among the stars in that this president, Ronald Reagan, has to do with that. You know, there's a lot of things that we could say that would be in detail that might really be inspiring or might stir you. But if we say a few little things and we have to go in detail them, and it kind of leaves you in a wilderness if we don't. But I will say this much. It's like Ronald Reagan's RRR. See, that relates back to RR, the Double R Ranch, or Roy Rogers, the King of the Cowboys, as they're called, back out in California. This is where Reagan comes from the same country as the cowboy among those that are out there. Now, it has to do with that because that's what he did. He played some Western movies. And coming over here from California, it relates back to that and has to do with a great spiritual significance. As a matter of fact, I brought out something concerning Roy Rogers, the movie star, and Gene Autry, the movie star, just like we brought out things here concerning little fables like Cinderella and Snow White and whatever. Everything in the universe, everything in the world, it has a great spiritual significance, and within that intellectual veil, or within that thing, is hid a great, wonderful treasure of the mind of Christ. And God has allowed all of those things to come forth, being symbolic or having to do with some great something, that we might understand the wonderful ways of God. That is to say, if my mind, intellectually speaking, is programmed with these things, then when God gets ready to take the veil off, it's just as it was with Paul. God, having programmed Paul's mind with all of the things of the Old Testament, when he looked for a man, all he had to do was just take the veil off of that, and Paul saw the wonderful allegoric things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this is the revealing of the revelation concerning the Son of God. Now then, when we see these things and we think about them and see things happening at little Bethlehem, it puts us right in the middle of the stream. See, it makes us a part of it. And we find ourselves moving along, being a part of a wonderful thing that God's doing. Little Bethlehem should by all means be one of the most brilliant, brightest spots in all the world. It should be one with more enthusiasm than any other place in the entire world because of what God has told us and what God has unveiled and the way that God has shown it. As a matter of fact, I believe that Brother Gary Armstrong's visions that he had the other night has to do with this. Gary said he saw a number of jet planes that went up like this, and they got up into the heavens, they just exploded into a great light that just reached everywhere. And I believe this had to do with some men and brothers, sisters, whatever, that's going to get into orbit with God. They're going to go up there with this wonderful thing of God and conglomerate together in a great, wonderful light that'll reach throughout the world. I believe that God's going to do this. Now, whatever it has to do with, in this he saw a certain individual fall down and said this had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas the individual I know for sure is an intellectual power that relates to a certain thing concerning the red dragon that we spoke of. And obviously it could have had to do with the casting out of Lucifer. But whatever it was, it had to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus according to what he said. Now, so then we see in this, the Lord doesn't fall, the Lord comes. In this, we see that the trip that we're about to take right now and the things that we're about to do right now have to do with a great, wonderful spiritual significance concerning Christ and the kingdom of God. Here in our own way, with our feeble presentation of it, so far as our own mental ability, and our own rusty vocal organs, our expression, whatever, here we try to share with you. And though it's very grievous, as I say many times, to try to share with you, because you just don't have the right spirit. That's all it is to it. Many of you don't have the right spirit, and it's very hard for me because I have to do this grievously. As God commanded the people, he said, don't cause the minister to have to do his job grievously because this is not profitable to you. And some of you that have problems right now, some of you people that are sitting here, you've got problems right now. And the reason that you've got problems is because you do not have the Holy Ghost, as I said earlier. You do not have the Spirit of God. You are a believer. in the sense that you're looking for safety and running for security, but you are doing nothing to live for God or to shape in your lives or to be ready for the rapture or the translation. Now, I tell you again, according to what I understand, this thing that I'm speaking of tonight, you will not go in the translation. You will not go in the rapture if you do not have the Holy Ghost. According to what I understand, you will not be translated and you will not go in the rapture. You will not do it. So then, when you come to the knowledge of sin, it is required of you. And you must have the Spirit of Christ to be translated, because the rapture is a translation by faith. And that translation is from the innermost being. And Christ's Spirit has got to be inside of you, so that when Christ appears in the heaven, the connection will be made, or you will go through the tribulation period. Now, so when we see this shaping up concerning Israel, now is the time, Brother Branham, going through Cairo, Egypt. It's not time yet, but you can believe that the time is here now. It's time now. And this thing, of course, brings in Israel, we use the terms like this, the capstone. As you're looking at this flag right here, folded in a military way, it's folded according to a capstone right here, and that's what Israel has to do with. Cairo, Egypt, stopping in Cairo, Egypt, back over there is where the pyramid is that is not capstone. So then, going over to Egypt has to do with bringing in the capstone, which means Israel. Because Israel is the capstone of the nations. They are the head of the nation. They are the capstone of the nations. And Israel can never be capstone, or they can never capstone the great pyramid of humanity as the head of the nations, until they as a capstone allow Jesus to capstone the capstone of the nation. That is to say, Israel has to have a head to make that capstone complete. They are without a capstone. Therefore, as long as they are without a capstone, then that means that the nations are without a capstone, because Jesus has to come and finish up that little cornerstone to form the capstone of the nations, that Israel might be the capstone of the nations, and that when Israel is accepted of the nations, then it signifies that Christ is accepted of Israel, and through that means, then that means the entirety of the mass world of mass humanity will all come under one government and one great leadership, which is the Son of God Himself. Antichrist will attempt to get between Jesus and between the nations and try to project himself and lift himself up and put himself into that position. He'll try to do that. That's what he's tried to do with America. He has tried to make America the capstone nation, and tried to capstone it with every kind of leader, and tried to draw everybody through the Roosevelt policy, everybody into this United Nations. But it'll never work. See, because that is only a type of what God's doing. Roosevelt was only a type of what God was doing. And here we are as a people. We are not the type. We are the true Israelites. And this great spiritual thing of what God's doing among the true saints of God is already happening, because when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes, it is the capstone that will capstone the church and bring forth the wonderful things of God. Even the mind of God that will cause us to move into the headship of the third dimension and understand all things. You have an unction from the Holy One that you should all understand all things. And like Brother Terrell said the other day, according to the report I got, said Brother Terrell said that there is but one message left, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or that is the message of the hour, as he put it, is the message of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas it is fitting for him to accept that or to say that, because Brother David Terrell has to do with dovetailing Brother Branham's ministry out, or that is to do with the house of David. And of course, Sister Bonnie, she said she dreamed that she brought birth to a child and said the child was a man child and had to do with the man child. Whereas she is connected with Brother David Terrell and connected with the move of God according to the way that they see it. But at any rate, this is the thing that's taking place. This flag that we have that we're sending to Mr. Reagan's or President Reagan's, as I said, is a beautiful flag. And if nothing happens, we'll have it going out by Monday. That would be fitting on the resurrection. Should go out. He just had a birthday. Georgia just had a birthday. I just had a birthday. Lincoln's birthday is close by. And Washington's birthday. And all here in one thing that has to do with the sign of Aquarius, the water boy. All of them having the same sign. But there's something to it at this very moment, because the Aquarius age, or the sign of Aquarius, is just coming in, or hasn't been in all that long, and it reaches on for many years to come. So then there's something that is happening, and God is beginning to bring something to our minds. Here it is stated in the book of Revelation that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and forever. And it is a true fact that we have, that is, the people in general, has been in a Babylon, and they have been in a Babylon just about ever since the time of Washington. And they have told the presidents, they've said, you cannot bring your religious convictions into the White House. But nevertheless, I noticed that Kennedy done it and some of the others. And in a secrecy sort of a way, the devil kept saying, you can't bring your religion into the White House. That is to scare off the truth and to keep the truth away, while all they did was practice their evil religions. So then a man by the name of Reagan, bold enough to stand up and make a declaration, changes the situation. I said that God needs somebody in the White House that's bold enough to stand up and put their mouths to silence, and that the Bible said there's some mouths that need to be stopped, and those going about subverting whole households and whatever. I said that we need a president that will stand up and make a declaration and say that we're going to stand for the truth and stand for the salvation of God, irregardless to what the sinisters stand for or think, irregardless to what Congress has to say about it or anybody else has to say about it. That we need a president that will stand up and say that. Now, he is the president yonder of the United States. He spoke up and said that, for which I'm very grateful. I believe it's the answer to people's prayers. Whereas as a minister, I spoke up and said it many times by television, radio, or whatever, because that's the way that I understand it. But at any rate, I still say that he took to himself a bold degree of faith or action to stand up in the position that he's in, being under the guns, as the world says, to make the statement that he did make. That is to say that in that he has done this thing, it is obvious or evident that all of Babylon is gone. Him being 70 years old or better, coming out of Babylon at 70, the Bible records it, after 70 years, it's obvious that he has from his birth been in a Babylon. And he's been a movie star and been everything, and finally he's coming to his senses in that he realizes that Christ is the only thing that can solve the problem. And nobody can dispute with him, because God has raised him up for that purpose, all the way from a young man, letting him experience the time of the panic and the time when people were in poverty, even way back there when they were in the Depression, and bringing him through, bringing him up as a rich man and a playboy, and bringing him up as a movie star, and bringing him up as everything. Therefore, nobody is qualified in the entire world to dispute what he says, as to saying, well, you don't know, you haven't had the experience, you're uneducated or whatever, because he was the governor of the biggest state in the Union, which was California. So they can't say anything. They just have to stand off in awe and say, we've been mistaken. There's a brain, there's an intellect, there's a power, there's somebody that's standing up there, that there is nothing that we can say anything to him that would reprove him or tell him something he doesn't already know. That anybody going to talk with him would be inferior to him, because he's done been down that path. And then at the top of it, God intended for him to stand up and say, away with all the rubbish, I've been through it all, but Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. So then in this, God has processed the man and brought him to power for this reason. Now, new beginning, a change, or as Jimmy said, back to the beginning. And that is the old world going out and the new world coming in, having to do with the millennium, because there is a parallel of a natural and a spiritual thing taking place. Ronald being on the natural side of it, God has raised him up to show the completeness of it. And if there's something in the natural, then that means whatever is taking place in the natural, there has to be a spiritual. And whatever the stride is in the natural that we see with our natural eyes, it means that the spiritual stride is at the same place, at the same peak or the same height of that which is out yonder in the natural. That is to say that like this flag going right here, this flag coming up, there is something that's happening at Bethlehem. There is something that's becoming the head of the nation. And this right here going up has to do with that very thing, for this flag states that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That's what this flag states. The very thing that I read to you right here, which has to do with the end of the world. Now at that time Lucifer is cast out. All the middle Babylonian problems of you can't do this and you can't do that, and the president can't have religion, and we don't know which religion, and we're not going to have prayer. All of this Babylonian mess is swallowed up in that Reagan's has stood up and said, I'm through with all of that, away with all that. It's going to be this way. Back to the original, back to Washington, back to the spirit of truth, back to the very thing. As the little saying says of cutting down the cherry tree, or back to virtue of the nations, as we would say. And at this time, especially in the axe is laid under the root of the tree. There's quite a number of other things, even concerning Washington, the west end of the thing, having the inauguration on the other side, whereas it had been on one side, that went to the other side facing the Washington Monument, which they say has to do with the Jessup Catholic religion or whatever, the priesthood. And strangely enough, as we go over into India, we have been informed that there is a priest that is connected with that priesthood that wants our fellowship over there, and that he is getting his eyes open to the things of God, and he's wanting to relate to us and wanting us to come and communicate with him. So then there is a lot of things that are taking place. This right here, as I said, denotes a new beginning. No, it's no coincidence that Brother Mitch and the brethren should wrap it up in this pyramid type thing here. That's no coincidence, because they were not going to do that. They were going to fold it up normally and just put it into a regular fold, which would have been a square fold. Something was mentioned about the military fold. And so then I said, that's the way it ought to be. And they folded it up that way. And I said, Mitch, take it up yonder and seal it in for me. Put it in the cellophane. And Mitch put two pieces of cellophane, I believe. Is that correct? On here. He sealed it in. And it is ready in a pyramid form, in a little triangle like we say here, to go up to Washington, or that is denoted as heaven up there. Received and ready to, or packaged up, ready to go up to Mr. Reagan's. So then, this of course shows the beginning, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. There's a whole lot of things I could say on and on and on, but I'm going to close in just a few minutes. This right here has a great significance. Going up there at this moment, in relation to many multiplied things that we have mentioned in the past, in relation to many multiplied things that's happening right now at the present, and related to many multiplied things that will happen in the future, many multiplied things that I would love to take time to tell you or explain to some of you that don't already know, those things which have been shared with me concerning this. But anyway, it says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. It is at that time that this woman standing on the moon gives birth to her child. Whereas I say again, this having to do with Israel, salvation being of the Jew, the man child, the people being raptured up or caught up to the throne, that is to say, carrying the child all this time, and now all of a sudden comes the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, there's many things that we could say tonight that I really would like to have said concerning some things that's happening right here to different people that's connected with this, those that are involved. I've mentioned some of these things to the brethren, And it's really an outstanding thing right now. As a matter of fact, it's a beautiful thing that I would like to have had on tape. Or I would like to have said, and even though tonight the Spirit is just right for the people after we run the devils off. It's just right, but we've waited so long that if I start into it now, it will take a little while longer, and some of them of that time will be back into the carnal mind and we'll just have a problem. But anyway, we'll let you go, and so that you can do the things that you enjoy. And to them that enjoy the things of God and love the things of God, I hope that these few things that we've said will inspire you to where you can understand more of the wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though I know that some of you are very definitely not interested in heavenly things, God said, you pray that God will grant unto you, that is Paul, you pray that God will grant unto you the revelation of Jesus Christ or the Spirit of revelation. You pray that God will do that, because if you're not interested, then it's time that you got interested, or you're going to be left out. You're not going to go in the rapture. You're not going to go in the chains because you don't have any interest in heavenly things. And you are a bonds child, being under bondage to your own mind of human desire for beggarly elements of this world and the things of this world. And you will perish with the world. But those that have a desire for God, that hunger and thirst after the things of God that are spiritual and looking for something spiritual, then you pray for revelation and ask God to give you the right kind of spirit, tender, loving, kind, and whatever, and an interest of relating to the wonderful mind of the Almighty God. All right, so then, this is about the essence of what we're going to say tonight. As I say, there's many things. We're just getting started, and when I say many things, I'm not just saying that, I mean it. Many things that I have already heard from heaven, and I'm enjoying. Whether you ever get them or not, you know, that's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. He might just directly give them to you. But otherwise, you'll have to be more spiritual if we're going to continue to do anything here. Because it takes the Spirit to talk about those things. And the time we wrestle through a service and get 2/3 through the service before I can even get you in a spiritual frame of mind, it's evident that you're not going to get what the Lord would have you to get. And I might add this too, that the greater pressure coming from those people that are carnally minded, even the bonds child, that is Martha, always pressing Mary, saying, tell her to let's do something natural. Jesus, tell her to let's do something natural. Jesus, tell her to let's do something natural. Till God got upset and rebuked her and said, this is the better thing. See, but those that are coming with that Martha sort of a mind and that pressure, always putting the pressure on us, you know, always doing that, they're doing that, children of God, to keep you from the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why they're doing that. See, they come in and they unite together as demon powers to come down like Judas did, to criticize in their minds and to find fault, being interested in money, prestige, and worldly affairs and whatever, and to put the thing under pressure to cause it to be to where we don't have the time that is sufficient toward the end of the service for God to speak to you about the things He'd like to. That's why they do that. Nevertheless, if you don't pray and you don't seek God and you don't ward it off, and you yourself as a child of God just kind of rocking to and forward, you know, and you don't have enough interest to really drive in and make an effort, then you just lose it. But I can say this, and I'm glad that I can say this, though you may never get it, I thank God that I got it. I thank God that He gave it to me. And I'm thrilled and I'm enjoying it and I'm happy because I received it. And if I can't share it with you, well, I love you anyway. But there's one thing that I praise God for. You can't keep me from getting it, and you didn't keep me from getting it. You might cause me to get upset and disturbed in that I can't give it to my children like I'd like to. But there's one thing about it. You couldn't stop me, and you didn't stop me. He gave it to me. And all of your contrariness won't ever change that. All right, I'd like for you to stand with me. This little flag right here has to do with the fact that I did get it. This going up to Washington has to do with the fact that I did get it. And the same bold stand that the president took, being the head of the nations, also indicates that he has seen something likewise. And I'm thankful that the Lord was considerate of me. I'm very thankful because I can truthfully say, as I have in the past, I did nothing to merit it. Not one thing have I done to merit it. I deserve none of it. I didn't receive it because I deserved it. I haven't merited it, not at all. But I'm thankful to God that I can truthfully say that I have got it without any apologies or doubt. I've received it, and that by His grace and by His glory. I thank the Lord for it. I feel very humble in my soul to the extent that I know that it was Him and His glory. It was His majesty. I'm thankful for it. I'm not lifted up and exalted in the sense that He has blessed me with it. I am only thankful that He considered me, because He certainly did not have to let me have it. And I have done nothing to deserve it. As I said, I only made myself available, in that I have been through the years so hungry and so thirsty for the wonderful things of God that I have sought diligently asking and waiting upon Him, because that was my life and my desire and my ambition. Everybody's got a life. Everybody's got a desire. Everybody's got an ambition. Whether spiritual or natural, they're busy through the day thinking, eating, drinking, sewing, buying, reading, writing, studying, going, doing, whatever. And of course, it's been my thing in life to seek, search, wait, pray, ask, hope, and look for the wonderful things of Jesus. Because I became convinced numbers of years ago that all that I could think and all that I could say and all that I could do, all that I could obtain unto, whatever I could be, ever how I looked in my appearance, whether good or bad or whatever, it amounted to actually nothing, because it's all going to pass away. But that what I obtained in Christ, what I understood in Christ, the way I looked and appeared to Him, and all the wonderful things that I accomplished in Christ would be treasure and eternal treasure forever and forever and forever. The great, wonderful, mystic, unchangeable. So I thank God for it. As I say, I'm just thankful to God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think that's unfair. Why didn't God do it for me? Let's think back. Children, for about 10 years, I've tried my best, or God has tried His best to do it even through me to you, and you haven't had an interest. And so you can't blame Him. Say, well, you didn't make it plain enough. I screamed at you. I hollered. I prayed. I fasted. I told you. I demanded. I pleaded. I've done everything I know to do, you know. And you still didn't do it. I'm going to hold it up here. If you want to take a picture, I'll hold it up and let you take a picture of it. But anyway, if they want to come up here, the photographers can come right up here and take a picture if they like. Don't marvel when you see me in my house shoes. These are some house shoes that Brother Jerry Lambert gave me. And strangely enough, I failed to wear them tonight. Now, I wore them. I don't like to wear my house shoes out because I like to keep them. It's kind of muddy outside anyway. But I wore them up here one night when I was preaching. We was making a movie, or that is a program, a TV program for the Star of Hope. When I started up here, something impressed me to put on my house shoes. And so I come up here and I put them on. I said, well, Lord, what has this got to do with me wearing my house shoes that Jerry gave me? And I knew that Brother Jerry, you know, they have to do with the Lamberts. And quite a number of things is taking place right now concerning their family. But anyway, I thought, well, what is this? What has this got to do with me wearing my house shoes? And I heard something real clear. It says it indicates that Israel has entered into her rest, or their rest. Therefore, there remaineth a rest for God's people. And so tonight, when I put it on, I started up. I thought, well, I'll just put my house shoes on. And of course, I heard something say, when I got my house shoes on or started on, I heard something say, don't you remember you had those on for the Star of Hope, which was Israel? You know, the Star of Hope has to do with the Dale Star and a number of things we spoke of. Going up in Israel and whatever the television station, the head, Christ Jesus, the revelation, and that he said he was going to take them the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is Pat Robinson. So then, everything turning to the revelation. Here, this particular instance, I put on these shoes. And then again, I heard something say, it indicates the new beginning, the people entering into the rest of the Lord. That is, the Lamb of God shed His blood that we might be partakers of His works. And the Bible said, they that have ceased from their own works, they have entered into His rest. And so then when you come to the place to where you understand and you believe, then you know that the Jews, us, whoever, will never make it by their own works. And so then this is what this is about. They honor God and they are honorable in the sight of God. They're referred to His old glory. But the Bible said the glory of the latter house is greater than that of the former. That of the former house, the glory concerning the laws and the Jews, concerning the covenant, the righteousness, that is, that was by the law, it was veiled. That which is in old glory, as we say, which has to do with the stars and stripes, that is a veiled thing, and you cannot see it unless you get in the mind of Christ. You cannot tell that that glorifies God. Only in the mind of Christ and seeing the unveiled, that's the only way you can see it. This right here is not veiled. This is very much unveiled. For the latter house, or the glory of the latter house, which is the revelation or the revealed, the unveiled, this is it. It very plainly states that it's the kingdom of God. And it very plainly gives God the glory in that you can read it and walk by and see it. Therefore, it is not the veil. It is that which is out of the veil. Therefore, the glory of the latter house is greater than that of the former. The old world going out, a new beginning. Brother Jimmy says, back to the beginning. And this thing coming in here with the new world, or the new thing coming in, the unveil, which means the glory of the latter house. So then this is a wonderful thing that we're looking at. I want to say once again that I deeply appreciate you, all of you. As I say, it gets pretty disturbing. Oh, when I realize that I have to go through a ritualistic, or I have to go through a formality, or I have to just go over for maybe 2 hours or hour and a half before I can ever get you into a mind of spiritual reality, or esteeming, a mind of esteeming and respecting and reverencing the wonderful things and house of God. See, you convert over into that mind that's negative, and everything that is in God looks negative to you because you are in a negative mind, looking through a negative mind. And then I have to wrestle till I get you converted back over in the positive side of life, and you see how negative that is out there. And then when I get you over there, the time's about expired, and we don't have time to really do nothing. And I've found myself wrestling and struggling with evil spirits that you should not have brought into the house of God. Wrestling against your carnal mind, which should not have been released in the temple of the living God. But nevertheless, people do it anyway, and it's sad, it's very sad. But I trust that you'll do a little bit of searching and stay in the positive mind of God, because I say again, you don't know that you go to sleep, but you know when you wake up that you have been asleep. And it's sad, it's very sad. But that's up to you. You get in that mind of darkness. You get drunk off the cares of life. You get drowsy. And, of course, that's where the problems come in. Okay. Now, as I said, I'm going to take this down to the house with me tonight. Before I do, I want to pray over this flag. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the brethren, if they will, would you step up here to the altar? This is no little event, and you that understand spiritual things, and I know that you want to be partakers in it. I certainly do. The significance of it is so wonderful that I want to be sure. Now, after that, my brethren have formed a little circle right all around in here. I just want you right around in here, just kind of stack back and to stay right in this little center part right here. Okay, some of the brethren move over this way just a little bit, will you? Some of these men are those who signed the Declaration of Independence, and that they took a bold degree of faith to believe that there is a new beginning and another world, and in the behalf of the Lord Jesus, they signed it believing that this wonderful way of Christ is the coming in of His great kingdom. I think is wonderful. I'm going to ask my brother Junior to come up here if he can. I think he can come up those steps right here where Jimmy's at. Y'all help him there. And let him come up here. And I want my sisters to come up here and stand behind the men. Just keep a distance just a little way so as to show respect and decency for your brother. And I'd like for them to come and stand directly behind my brethren right here on both sides and just kind of form a little ring out around this way, back around that way. Just come in right behind them here and file off to the right and to the left in the sense of just making a ring back of them here. That's good, sisters. Just come right on over here tonight. It's a little bit different. The men are not on that side. They're standing here in the middle. So just make a ring. Men and women and children, whatever. There, just right around them, you know. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask my brother Junior, if he doesn't mind standing right out here. He can just lay his crutch here anywhere. It doesn't matter. And stand right out there. As a matter of fact, Brother Gerald was telling me today, he said, I had a vision of Brother Junior and he was walking everywhere and didn't need no crutch. So I'm going to let him hold the flag right here. I hear. Now, what we're going to do, can you come over about middle ways here, Junior? Now, what we're going to do, we're going to pray. All of us is going to pray. I put him out in the middle so I can be back here. And we all can point to this. And we all will be fine. And while Junior takes this flag, the way that he's doing, I want him to hold it right there, just like that. And I want him to turn around toward me, first of all. Stand right there. Okay, now. And I'm going to anoint the flag. And I'm going to pray over this. And I want you to stretch your hands out toward me. If you will, I want you to stretch your hands out toward me. And Sister Nancy, if you want to get a shot back here, you can stand back here anywhere. It don't matter. And Junior, you can get some wherever Junior is. If he'd like to bring his camera and get Junior, you can come up here. Bring your camera and stand on the other side over here. This has to do both with the Jews and with the Gentile, which has to do with our black brothers and sisters and our white brothers and sisters, because it has to do with the coming together of the body and of the spirit. That's why that the sisters is on both sides tonight. Ordinarily being on one side, they're on both sides tonight. Now, while we pray, I want you to be sincere, folks. Because, as I say, this is not a game. Why did God build this building? I didn't have the money to do it. Why did God make this flag? I didn't have the knowledge to do it. Why did God bring you people from all directions, from all over the country, to this particular place? It's sure that I didn't have the power to bring you here. Why did Brother Clyde Cobbs and such people, numbers of people, come here and give money or give their homes and give whatever? I couldn't do that. You say, well, such and such. Well, let me tell you. Brother Cobbs, for instance, is one person that he does what he wants to when he gets ready. He's always done it through his life. His family didn't change him. Nobody didn't change him. His wife didn't change him. He'd done what he wanted to. And he had worked, had a nice home, a reputation, whatever. Some of the others of you have done the same thing, and yet you've left it to come this way. And Brother Clyde surrendered it up. Why did he do that? Why? Others have sold their homes. I know of a number of them. And gave money and contributed to this work. I didn't ask them to do it. Why did they do that? There had to be something that got a hold of their heart that was bigger than they were and compelled them to do this. It has to be. Because if you'd have known Brother Clyde and some of these other fellows before they come here, though they were already walking with the Lord, some of them, you wouldn't have never believed this. You would have never believed it. Some of them, brothers and sisters, loved ones, they can't believe it now. Their daddies and mothers, they can't believe that this thing has happened. But see, there's something taking place. Okay, now we're going to pray. Junior here is standing here because Junior represents the name of the family. He has my dad's name. He represents the head of the family. See, the Lord let Junior have the name of the head of the family and bypassed me because he knew that my work was to be a spiritual work. And the son is to get the name of the head of the family. And Junior having to do with this is a flag that's to be naturally flown. And now there is a natural thing that's coming in where the natural kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. And God will naturally manifest himself in a human body as he did in Jesus to come and set up his kingdom. Therefore, in this, he is standing here for this purpose. So let's just lift our hands up. Now you say, what does this have to do with? My daddy's name was Carter. Junior's name is Carter. And of course, as I said, Jimmy isn't finished. Him and Reagan is one and the same. Reagan shows the spiritual side of it. Or Jimmy shows the natural side of it. So here tonight, we stand with this. Now let's just lift our hands up and love the Lord. Father, precious Lord of heaven, seeing that we are nothing but a foolish person, thou hast chosen the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise, that thou mightest glorify thy lovely name in thine own holy way. For most assuredly, Father, we ourselves are nothing, and I realize that we're nothing. And I beg of you mercy, and I beg of you forgiveness of any sins or wrong, anything I've said, anything I've done, at any time in my life, anything that I'll ever do. I beg your forgiveness for it now, my Father. Order my footsteps aright, and my thoughts aright, and my words right. Let my concern and desire, Heavenly Father, be toward thee. I beg of you, Jesus, to do this. And dear wonderful God, as my beloved brothers and sisters stretch out their hands toward thee and toward this flag, I likewise do the same, most precious Father, knowing that thou art the great, wonderful monument of praise, that of the adoration of all mankind, the desire of the ages, the wonderful, great cornerstone of glory. We give praise to thee, Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy to receive honor and power and glory and majesty. Your holy, wonderful honor, the only true honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, we adore thy Son and praise thy Son and look to thy lovely Son. O precious fountain of heaven and of earth, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll take this effort, Lord, of the hands that have labored concerning the flag and concerning those that have labored for little Bethlehem, those that have prayed and those that have been concerning, those that have been sincere, may it go up in a great monumental praise, in a capstone manner, to be glorified in Jesus Christ's name, that the Lord Jesus himself, in a wonderful way, can receive the glory. May President Reagan understand, may he be honored with this, and may he receive it, and may it be to thy glory. May this flag honor thee, O God, in Jesus' name. Bless our people, heal and save and forgive, protect us all, help us to evangelize the world, in Jesus' name, as you magnify your people. Amen. Praise God. Brethren, I really appreciate you bearing with me in this. And the significance of that which is taking place is so wonderful and so great. Now, while we stand together with our hands lifted up to heaven, I want us to love the Lord for just a few minutes. And with this, we're going to dismiss and go home. But I would like for you to consider the Lord tonight. Think over these things. Because there's really something taking place. Don't forget to pray as this flag goes on its way. This is like sending a tract, a book, writing it, putting it in a book, send it to the churches. On this flag is Scripture. And we are sending a message to the White House, a message to Ronald Reagan's. It's not just a flag, this is a message. And we are sending this to Mr. Reagan. Okay, now, while you've got your hands lifted up, let's pray. Father, again, we come to the close of another service, asking you to help us, asking you to be with us, asking you to direct our hearts. Father, God of heaven, God of righteousness, God of purity, great and lovely God of heaven, Father, be with us. Lord, as we worship Thee and as we sing this last little chorus together tonight, help us to adore Your name and to praise Your lovely name, my Father. Be with us in Jesus' name. Let's sing this little chorus together. A stream is flowing, can we? There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. There's a stream that's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, there's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. Sing it one more time while we sing it. I want my brother Junior to come and dismiss us. That stream, it's flowing.